Oh, good morning, everybody, and happy Pentecost. Festival of the Weeks, Shavuot. A lot of people don't realize that there's an S on the end of that because it's Hebrew, and they like to put an S on the end of everything. Kind of like Germans like to put an Ach on everything, you know. We're going to have a little bit of fun this morning because today we do celebrate that day that God opened up and poured out His Spirit upon all mankind. And He'd never ever done that before. This is very, very special. I heard Sean Dunn preach a sermon one time about, you know, people say when they go to heaven, they're going to go up to like David and say, wow, you know, what was it like? Or they're going to go up to, you know, certain people, what was it like, you know, to live then? And he said, can you imagine when you get to heaven, there's certain people in heaven, they're going to ask you, what was it like living with God's Spirit inside of you every day? Think about the power that God has given us through this precious, precious gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're gonna read Pentecost. It's a little lengthy, but it's so much needed. And I pray that those of you that are joining us online, I pray that maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of this event. You know, in the church, we hear about it, but a lot of times we don't hear all about it. And so this morning I want to read Acts 2, 1 through 40, about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And then we're going to talk about the significance of that. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were those staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun. There's always those guys, isn't there? Right? And they said, oh, they've had too much wine. Then good old Peter stood up. And he preached the sermon of the ages. He stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set a purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue will rejoice. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with your joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father and promised the Holy Spirit has been poured out, what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is an amazing, amazing hope for us, the church. For all who call upon the name of Jesus, for all who receive him as their Lord and Savior, for all of those who are far off. Some of us were about as far off as you can get, weren't we? And God said, "No, I've got this gift for you. I want you to hear about this." You see, we believe this truth that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too receive God's gift. We receive his presence. We receive his personality. We receive everything, his essence within us. And he gives us gifts in doing so to live a life that models Christ. I was saved for many years before I received and experienced the Holy Spirit. And people say, "Well, what was that like?" I said, "Well, it's like a pie without the filling. You can eat it, but it's kind of crusty." I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is that filling. The Holy Spirit is what gives life that flavor. It's worth cutting a piece of and eating. This life, this empowerment within us then produces fruit. Pentecost to us is Pentecost. To the Jewish people, it is the festival of weeks. Or, it, like I said earlier, it's Shabbos. And this festival has two significant events that happen. It has two events that really mirror what the Holy Spirit is all about. You see, the double significance is in this Jewish festival is both spiritual and agricultural. Isn't that kind of interesting? First of all, okay, spiritually, it commemorates the anniversary of the day when God gave the Torah to the nation of Israel assembled at Mount Sinai. And that's in Exodus 34, and we're not going to go there. But all of Israel is assembled at Mount Sinai, and God gave the commandments. Moses then wrote those down, and we have the laws, and we have everything that's in the Old Testament. It kind of starts there. The laws start there. Not the history, but the laws start there. And basically what this means is it's a beginning. And then secondly, agriculturally, it makes a very, very important time in their calendar when the first wheat harvest in the land of Israel is basically acknowledged. It's a harvest time. Now, isn't it interesting? You get the word, and you got a harvest, okay? I wanna look at that first one, that spiritual context. When they look at the spiritual context of Shavuot, they look at it as a marriage relationship. The Hebrew people really do. And this part of Pentecost is not celebrated by a large part of the Hebrew community. I think part of the reason is because if you do this, you have to stay up all night and read the Torah. And then it turns into Torah, 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 which is kind of like an invasion, right? But it is. A lot of people, how many of you would like to stay up all night and read Leviticus? No, thank you, okay? But what it really is, it's not just this tradition that they do. What it signifies is it signifies how precious the Word of God is to the Hebrew people. How precious in Pentecost, us celebrating, how precious the living Word of God is to us. Because the living Word of God to them was like a marriage relationship. It was like the bride and groom staying up all night with an intimate time. And for us, it's like receiving the living Word of God within us, the Holy Spirit within us, and celebrating that intimacy and being so excited about you can't go to sleep. And that's what the first part of the spiritual part of this means. In giving us the Holy Spirit on this celebrated day, God is saying, now I give you all of me. Part of this celebration on the spiritual end of receiving the Torah is the Hebrew people realize that God says, I have given you this, now you follow me. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are saying to God, God, you have given me this, and now I can follow you. Because now I have the power to do what I need to do. Now I can love you the way I am supposed to love you. Now I have your living word close to my heart. Now I can walk this out like I never could before. Revelation 19, 7 and 8, it says this, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Fine linen signifies a harvest. So we go from the spiritual to the agricultural, to the harvest. Now this is a prophecy of what's going to happen when Christ returns and we go to heaven. And that fine linen that we are dressed in, the church is, that fine linen, it says it represents the righteous acts of God's people. And that is so amazing because the celebration of harvest with Pentecost, okay, is the result of the righteous acts of God's holy people. That harvest is happening and has been happening ever since Peter preached that first sermon on Pentecost. That harvest is here. You see, 7 weeks before Pentecost, Jesus gave his disciples these last words before he was taken up to heaven. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, and some of us know part of this, it says, then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age. Isn't that amazing? That when we spiritually embrace the living Word of God, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up, then we can say to God, God, I receive what you've given me, and God, now I will follow you. And Jesus, this wasn't a suggestion. He says, all authority on heaven has been given to me and on earth. And he's saying, now I give it to you. You're the church. And I want you to go out and do something with it. I want you to go out and change the world. And the church has changed the world in the last 2,000 years. Can you imagine the world without the body of Christ, the world without the Holy Spirit? Whoa, that's scary. In fact, one Bible scholar that I know, he said, rapture can happen three different ways. But he said, I'm almost sure that he's going to have to take the church out of the picture. Because as long as we're here, we're going to keep praying people into heaven, and it's going to prolong the second coming. Because God, he's patient. And he doesn't want anyone to be lost. And this harvest that we're involved in, God wants us to be a part of it. God wants us to be a part of it. He says, I want you to make disciples. I want you to have a harvest. I want you to give them the gift that I gave. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, as the church, we need to acknowledge that God is our Father. He's all powerful. That Jesus is our Savior. He is everything to us. And the Holy Spirit is the dunamis power, the dynamite power, the supernatural power that we need in order to walk it out. And God says, I want you now to obey everything I've commanded you, and I want you to embrace the living word. I think to me, this promise, this power, everything in it, is wrapped up for me in a very, very precious, precious promise that Jesus gave us. He said, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God knew what was going to happen in our last 2.5-3 months. And he's been here every step of the way. You know, I'm amazed at what the enemy's tried to use as bad. God has broadcast the church throughout the whole world. God says, okay, we're going to have us a little scattering. We're going to have us another Pentecost. We're going to have God's power presented once again to the world. So, I encourage you, let's embrace God's gift to us. Let's embrace the Holy Spirit. A mentor of mine, Reverend Aunt Pearl Atkins, who lived to be 103 years old, one time I was visiting with her and I said, Aunt Pearl, how do you do it? You are always, always, you're just like Jesus walking around. And she chuckled and she says, well, thank you, Jimmy. She could call me Jimmy. She was old enough. Okay. She said, it's very simple. She said, I get up every morning and I empty myself of me and I fill myself up with the Holy Spirit. I've tried to do that ever since. It's not easy because sometimes I'm really full of me. I'm usually really full of it, right? But when we empty ourselves of ourselves and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, then we have something to give away. We need to embrace the Holy Spirit. We need to give that gift to others. And then we need to trust God for the fruit and trust God and pray to God for the harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this precious gift. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of you into our hearts, into our spirits, into our minds, into our souls, into our physical bodies. Everything that we are, Lord, you fill up. Holy Spirit, you fill us up. We thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that we will not take that for granted. We pray, Lord, every day you will give us something new, a new experience, a new ideal, a new truth, a new way to walk out your power, to walk out the faith that you've given us, Lord. We pray for that, and I pray that the world will be changed around us. I pray, Lord, that there will be a harvest. And I pray that you'll get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Cindy.
Good morning. Oh, welcome all of you that are here this morning. Welcome, welcome. I want to I want to read to you Acts 1:8, since we're talking about that. But the thing that struck me particularly, and I'm going to read it out of the Message just because I kind of like how it gets right down to it and says it. Acts 1:8, he told them, "You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world." Even to the ends of the world. So the thing that stuck out to me this morning is, am I living like the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Am I living like that? Am I his image bearer? Because am I doing that? Day in and day out in the stuff, in just the everyday stuff. You know, it's not reserved for just Sundays, and it's not reserved for just when you go out to what we would call minister. You know what? It's every day. You bear the image of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Are you living like that? Because you are living far beneath what God purposed for you. If you're not mindful of that. So this morning, this week, in the weeks to come, please keep that ever present in your mind. And really, it does start with, in the morning, emptying yourself out of you, surrendering to the Lordship and his Holy Spirit, and walking that day out in the Spirit rather than your flesh.